4, Charlie Tango Delta. My name's Wyatt. And, you know, I have not heard if Blue Ridge Club is doing anything for field day this year or not. I know they were attempting to do many field days, but I don't think any of them made. As far as myself, I don't know. One of the other hams, to the repeater, has invited me out to Lake Hartwell to do something, but haven't made commitments yet on that.
Well, I'm a member of the Greenville Club and Gainesville, Georgia, LARC Club, and the Athens Radio Club, all. So I kind of sit right here in the middle of them in Hartwell and can talk on all of them, so I figure I might as well be a member and pay the dues. It's not like it's that much money, so I enjoy the what I get out of it, so well worth it. But now we're the Athens Club. We're planning a pretty good field day, and so is LARC out of Gainesville. And that's the reason I was asking. I hadn't heard anything about it on the Greenville side, but that's a shame if they can't get enough people together to do that. We have a good time with it. It's good to catch up and sit around and talk on the radio and joke.
The Henderson's probably got something planned, but I don't get on that repeater that much. I'm not sure what they got going on. They've got a mobile set up in the whole nine yards, and they've done it in the past in like many field days and stuff like that in January. But I think what last time I heard about the Blue Ridge Club was they couldn't get enough people together. I think I want to say that KFNUE, I think he was going to do some cooking for me. I think the thing kind of fell through, but things may have changed since then. N4DJC, and the handle here is Jerry, by the way, Wyatt.
As a matter of fact, you know what, let me make a quick call and I'll find out if Blue Ridge is doing anything. Fairly certain Greer is still along with theirs, and I think they're probably doing it YMCA and TR. Not 100% positive on that. Get it for CTD, and I'm going to be on the side for a few minutes.
HPX.
Patrick, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Bill? How are you, Jerry? And as far as I know, I haven't heard anything on the Greenville Club since the mini field day fell through. I hadn't heard anything else about either one of them.
Doing well today.
On the website, and they don't have anything about it. The only thing they got on field day is from 2020. And, but as many people as in Greenville, you'd think they could find three to five people to at least set up two stations and do it.
Tough commitment for the mini field day. I don't know. You would think, though, there'd be plenty of people wanting to try that.
Enjoy it. You know, when I was real active and I lived in Rock Hill, the Orange County Club, we had one. We had a big field day every year. We had a big civil defense deal up there, and there'd usually be 30 or 40 of us out there working the station. I worked, I worked shifts, and I worked CWN phone shifts. And I think we, last time I did, it was probably sometime in the 80s, I think we lost maybe 7,000 contacts or something like that.
Frank? KJ4CTD. Just so you are aware, the Blue Ridge Club will be making that decision on field day on Monday meeting. Dylan?
I'll say try it. And if not, then maybe they can just, some of them can drive down to Anderson or up to somewhere north or east or west where there is one. It's always a lot of fun. I enjoy them. We're going to have three stations set up. We're going to be at one of the fire departments in Athens, Clark County, right beside the vet school there on College Station. So that way we'll be have a relatively safe place to be there overnight. So that's the only bad thing about Athens is it gets pretty rough after midnight if you're not in a secured location. So we're gonna be at the fire station number 7, M4WHM.
Make sure I got this. Wyatt, I'm going to go ahead and jump out. I'm coming into the black hole up here. Just wanted to let you know what I'd heard. KO4HX. Y'all have a good day.
Patrick, we need to get together again. Just maybe we get together and just meet up for coffee sometime. Need to make that time. So enjoy talking with you. You have a safe trip home. This is M4WHM.
Pick it up, Wyatt. This is Gerald Chior. What's sign? I heard him double. Wyatt takes care of the apparatuses, Bill, that do the air traffic control and stuff like that. You know, like I'm going to guess Omni and all of the different devices like that. He calibrates them and aligns them. And is extremely knowledgeable. And kind of like the stuff you do, Bill. Go ahead, Jerry.
With Bill or somebody, you know, I just tell him, Patrick, you ought to go ahead and get on that VHF UHF contest coming up. He's got the equipment, he ought to be able to give it a workout maybe here in a week or two. Go ahead, Bill.
No reason not to get in there and do it. But, There's always something to do or play or redo in ham radio, so I know I gotta redo. I was up at 3 a.m. working on this Go Box, and I made a Anderson pole connection backwards. I gotta fix it before I forget and plug it in, so I'm gonna go ahead and cut the end off of it after this transmission, as a matter of fact. M4WHM.
Well, there comes Prime Guy. That's good. He just kicked off the driveway sensor, and he'll kick it off when he goes back, I guess. Well, Patrick, I don't know if you heard Bill earlier, but he told me about a real good app. It's called Snakebite 911. You put it on your phone and it tells you the nearest location of antivenom in case you get bit. If you're still there, Patrick. Over. Signed out. Go ahead, Jerry, I guess, is all that's left. No, Bill's still there, I think.
Bill, what are you telling me? What are you in your box? How big of a battery do you have in your Go Box?
15 amp hour, one of those lithium ion batteries. I can't even pronounce it. It starts with a B. Biano battery. They're nice little batteries. They're a little pricey, but they weigh about a third of what a lead acid weighs, and they give you constant voltage right up to the point until they drop out. So, and the 15 amp hour will run. I know when I was doing POTA with that Zygu G90, I could run for about 7 hours on that 15 amp hour battery. So, I'm curious to see what kind of life it'll have running the 2 meter and the Yaesu. I'll have to play with it and see. Test it out on different power settings.
Yeah, that's what I got, Bill. Mine's only 4.5 amp. That's what I use as an external power supply for my ICOM 705. It's got a bad internal battery that lasts several hours on 5 watts. It's 4.5 amp when I got it. It lasts for a long, long time. And it probably lasts about 9 hours on 10 watts. concerning.
When I had that G90, I could stay, which, you know, it maxed out at 20 watts, but I tried to stay about 10 watts for QRP, and like I said, I would get 7-8 hours easy out of that battery, and wouldn't have any problem. I don't know what it'll do. I don't know how long it'll run this Yaesu. I can, of course, turn the power way down or run it at 100 watts and see just how long it will last. I'll have to do both just so I'll know. But yeah, those Y4 POS batteries, they're good batteries. And I got the built-in battery control so it doesn't overcharge or charge it wrong, as long as you use the right kind of charger. So it's a good setup.
I like mine. I charge mine for about, mine is running about 12 volts right now. And, of course, the internal battery is about 8.384, so when all this is doing is just supplement the life of the internal battery, more or less. It'll give me a good long, give me a good while to talk on. Plus, DC power supplies, or you use a switcher, and that kind of noise you on HF and on single sideband on 2 meters too. So this gives me 10 watts, so I can either run 5 or 10 watts. This little battery here barely don't weigh but a pound. It's maybe two by two and a half or something like that. It's pretty small. Weighs about 15, 16 ounces at the most, and I can haul it outside and hook it up with my satellite setup, so I don't have to haul the power supply, some heavy, you know, lead acid battery or gel cell out there with it. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I'm just too old. That's the bottom line, go out there in the hills and that, but I envy you, Bill. That's wonderful. And yeah, you mentioned a while ago, my mind's slipping back there. They didn't mention the Eastern Diamondback, and that's the largest rattlesnake in the United States, but it's from roughly Columbia on south. But I've seen some pictures of those suckers that look like the Loch Ness Monster.
That list for Georgia, I'm pretty sure, or it may have been in that Snakeback 911 I was looking at, had the Eastern Diamondback listed, but that's the ones that get so big. One of the ones we got over at the farm, we had the dispatch, was about 4.5 foot long and had 19 rattles. He was about big around as a baseball. I mean, he was a big old thick snake. The other one wasn't quite as big, but we did the appropriate thing. We skinned it, saved the skin, and even cooked the meat. So it didn't go to waste. I wouldn't want to live on it, but it'll fill a hollow spot.
Next time you go in, if you happen to go in Powell's store there in the little intersection there, he used to have a rattlesnake skin mounted up over the cash register, and he'll probably tell you he killed it, but I'm going to kill that snake when we were going to school in America. We skinned it and ate it too, but there was some alcohol involved back in those days. I don't know if I'd do it again or not.
Swimming across his trip pit one day, but it was a timber rattler, and it was 37.5 inches long, and I skinned it and put it on a board, and it had 7 rattles on it. But you know what really stood out, Bill? Most of the water snakes, the common water snakes, their head's more out of the water than their body. But the kids and I were out in a John boat. All we had was oars, and it belonged to a friend of mine. And that sucker comes swimming across the water, and it looked like one of them red and white bobbers, you know, how they sit up so high on the water. So I knew right then and there that was a rattler. And so I stood up, had the kids duck down, and I shot him with an officer's Model Mats 38 Colt. was some 92 grain cast lead bullets from an RCBS mold I had, and he stopped dead in his tracks, and I thought, that boat was still moving, and I was standing in it, and you know how rocky they are. Well, unbeknownst to me, I just about cut his head off, but I put two more in him just to make sure, and I didn't want to destroy his head because nobody'd believe it was a rattlesnake, because you didn't see him that often. It was north of where I lived, about 15 miles up to there. You didn't see any rattlers, but after that, during harvest and that, they pick them up ever so often.
You get them. We used to find them on the farm when I was growing up. Like you said, when either we'd be moving hay in the barn or cutting fields, bush hogging, we'd run across them there a little bit. But the I was always more concerned with the rabbits. It was my job, especially when they were cutting the fields, and the rabbits run out to pop it with a .22. And that way we could have some rabbit and gravy. Biscuits, that was good eat. Import WHM.
Bill, where did you eat that one at? Was you in the Army at the time? I got sidetracked there.
Snake? No, this was only about a month ago. We had the dispatch, two of them that were in a woodpile we were trying to move, and we skinned them out, got the skin, saved them and the rattles, and cooked up, deep fried the rattlesnake meat and ate it.
This is Gerald TR in 4WHM. Yeah, well, that same guy that I said we was on his strip pit up there fishing, he brought some in one day. Of course, it was cold, and it was the next day, but they deep fried it. And like you said, I wouldn't want to live on it. But there was a guy there in town in Pittsburgh, up there in Kansas, and he had cages, they said, down at the end of his bed, and he had been to Texas, and he picked up several diamondback rattlers and brought them back to Kansas. And actually, later on, they found out he turned them loose. Boy, game wardens were very upset because they're not indigenous to our area. But as I drove by the city department, I seen these guys in a circle out there in the parking lot. And it was very unusual because it was quitting time. So I pulled over there and stopped. Boy, I'm telling you, you couldn't get 3 foot from that diamondback rattler without that sucker ready to hit you. I mean, talk about a Monday morning disposition. That's one of the meanest snakes I ever seen in my life.
I mean, all snakes are just pure muscle, and especially the pit vipers, and particularly the way they get ready to strike. They can. I've never been bit except by a green snake on the big toe. I wasn't but about 5 when that happened. It scared me to death, but that was about it. But they say when you get hit by a rattlesnake, it's like getting hit with a baseball bat, both from the strike and the poison.
I never ever went fishing anymore without that hog leg. Go ahead, Jerry.
A friend I fished with in South Georgia got hit in the back of the calf box, and we were fishing these farm ponds. And he's the one taught me to buy those Russell snake boots. I'm glad I bought them then, because when that snake hit him, he had a pair of jeans on over. When the snake hit him in the back of the calf there, it looked like he had two strings pulling out with the fangs. It kind of hung up on the cloth and carried guns. As soon as that snake got away from me, we killed that one in a hurry. I was going to tell y'all about another kind of snake that both of y'all might be interested in. I know Tom and is interested in this. The Colt just announced a new 22 Rimfire King Cobra target, which is built on that King Cobra frame, which is a smaller frame than the Python 10 shot with a 4-inch barrel and a 6-inch barrel. Stainless, of course, and it looked really nice.
Oh, wow, that'd be a beauty. I used to have it wasn't a diamond, but it was a Trooper Mark III, 22 on a 357 frame, and being poor, when I decided to want another gun, I had to trade it off, you know, because I could only have one, and I could kick myself now. That was a honey, I'll tell you. Go ahead, Bill.
I've, unfortunately, over the years, I say unfortunately, I love the horse trade, so horse trading a radio or a pistol or rifle or shotgun or axe or whatever it is, I enjoy the horse trading part of it. So I do have a few I've gotten rid of that I wish I still had, but you know, you can't have but so many toys. If you can't play with them at least once every 6 months, I don't figure you need it. So that keeps my numbers down to a manageable expectation. M4WHM.
So I just got a Mark III Trooper 22, and he had to pay a good bid for it. It was really nice condition. He's also got a 1946 or 47 K22. But I've got a 617 Smith 10 shot 22 or 60 Smith. He was a chuck clip. It sure does shoot well. But that, that new coat is built on what normally would be called a diamond back frame, but it's, you know, it's got a condition trigger guard, a little high shaped on it, but they all set much up. But their retail on was
$9.99. When my dad passed away, he had two or three suitcases full of pistols, and he liked the horse trade too, Bill. And one of them was a Diamondback. I don't know if it was a 38 Special or a 357, probably 357. Back then, it was like $200, you know, and when Dad passed away, I took all of them. I didn't want that many guns around, so I sold them on. Mom said, keep what you want and sell the rest, and I kept one, a police positive, and traded it in my security six, I think, in for a gold cup. That's the way I had to operate when you don't have any money, Jerry. But those were ventilated rib, just like the Colt Python. And he had a Python one time, and he traded it for a 10-horsepower Evinrude motor, Bill. Oh, I bet that thing's worth at least $1,000, if not two or $3,000 now. And I got a buddy up there in Kansas that's got one. He bought it and put it in the safe. And he said it's never, the cylinder's never been rotated. There's not even a mark on it. I can't imagine what that'd be worth now. Anyways, the good old days. Don't need them now. I'm getting too old. But you guys come up and visit us sometime. And pick a cool day, and we'll go down out back. See you later, Bill and Jerry. This is N0TR Clip.
You have a good one. We'll catch you down the log. M4WHM.
Your time, and you'll be a little disappointed now if that Diamondback was in 22, 6-inch 22. Last one I saw locally, it sold for $2,400. It was nailed in pristine condition, but still, I'd rather shoot 22 than anything. It's cheaper than I can afford to shoot. I was like you, Tom. I couldn't have more than a couple of guns at a time, so I'd have to trade one or two to pick up another one. So I never accumulated many at all.
That's the way with me, Jerry. No, the Diamondback, it was either 38 Special or 357, but I do remember it was a beautiful pistol. And my friend John Rocky, he lived to shoot. He'd shoot two or three times a week out the range, which was strip hit dumps. And wanted me to go every time. I said, John, I can't afford to do that. He worked for Oklahoma Tire and Supply Company, I think they called it, one of Bernice. Oh, Taskos. Yeah. walked into his bedroom, you had to walk over the guns. I think he had every barrel there ever was for a Thompson Contenders. Anyways, I'm going to sign off and get clear, guys. There is a ship on 20 meters now that's out there in 5R. But it says it's Olathe, Kansas. That was north of us up by Kansas City. But that's what it says. The USS Razorback 73's built. And this time I will be clearing QRT and 0TR.
I'm going to get out of here, too. I need to switch some radio equipment around. That involves unplugging power, so I need to finish my wiring on my go box here. So, but been good to talk with you, as always, and hopefully we'll catch you again here in the next few days or next weekend. I'll be, phone was buzzing, sorry I got distracted for a second, but I'll be around. I'll have radio back on in a little while if you're back on, so give me a shout. And 4WHM, I'll be clear on your return.
They probably catch you a little bit later this evening, maybe. Better go downstairs and make sure Lynn don't need any help. I hope I wait right long enough where she don't need any, though, to be honest with you. I tend to get in the way. Catch you later, N4WHM, N4DJC.